Here we left off last week. We were talking about the sugya of mitzvah bar aveira as it relates to matzah shel tevel. So we came to the realization that this seems to be almost a superfluous drasha, that the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that we need a special pasuk to teach me that a person can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with matzah shel tevel, or sechel of chametz, etc. Whole little complicated drasha in Pesachim, the second parak. And the Rishonim bar with the question, what do I need a pasuk for? I could have figured it out on my own. It should have been covered by mitzvah bar aveira. So we saw some of the almost simpler answers that were given in some of the Rishonim. We spoke about Tosa's answer and Rabbeinu Peretz's answer. Then we spent a lot of time last week talking about the Shagas Arya's answer, which got us into a whole side discussion about asei dochalos asei, both in general in terms as it relates to matzah. But at the end of the day, everybody's working with the assumption that we have a problem. Everyone's working with the assumption that we have to explain why the need for the pasuk. After all, isn't it covered by mitzvah bar aveira? And everybody in their own way, Rishonim, Chachamim, are chiseling away at mitzvah bar aveira. But now we have to almost go back, so we say back to the drawing board, go back to the sugya pesachim itself and see what exactly was that drasha? What is the meaning of that drasha? And do we have any issues with the drasha itself? So that's almost the second half of the sugya right now. So we're going to put mitzvah bar, I can't say we're going to say goodbye to mitzvah bar aveira, never say goodbye to that sugya. We'll put it in the back burner for a little while. Let's now go back to the basics, back to the sugya pesachim daf lamed hey, lamed vav, and try to understand what the Gemara is saying there. And then eventually we have to try to put the piece of the puzzle back together again. So let's go back to the first of Rambam Kumbus. We know that we're going backwards. We've been learning a sugya for about 2 weeks, and then we're going back to the first of Rambam Kumbus again. So we'll try to look at it through new eyes. So comes the first of the Rambam Kumbus, Hamsacham Amin Hemi Beis, Tana Rabbanim. So we learned in the Braisa. Yachol Yetzi Yadim Midei Chavoso B'Tevel Shel Niska. I might think that a person can fulfill their obligation of matzah with tevel, with produce that was not fixed. Shlo nitka means tumas and rices weren't taken off of yet. Before the Gemara even gets to the discussion of the sugya, the Gemara just asks the textual question. That's a very strange phrase. Tevel shlo niskan. Kol tevel nami halo niskan. Tevel by definition means it wasn't fixed. It means it wasn't tumas and rices taken off of. So it's really a superfluous phrase. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. What the Braisa meant as follows. Ela betevel shlo niskan kol tzercho. What it means is that you did start to fix it up. You did start to take off tumas, but you didn't finish the job. So that's what the Braisa is addressing. What would be some examples of tevel that you didn't quite finish the job? Shenitla memeda truma gedolos. You did take off the big truma, and the truma that goes to the kohen. Lo nitla memeda truma smaisa. You didn't take off the tenth of the tenth. That also has to go to the kohen. Or maisa rishon. Or you took off maisa rishon. Vlo maisa sheni. You didn't take off maisa sheni. Or vefilo maisa ani. Or maybe you did everything, but it was the third and sixth year, and you forgot to give a tenth to the four people. So minayin. So the bottom line is that the common denominator of all these cases is that you didn't finish the job. And if you didn't finish the job, so it's still considered to be tevel. How do you know in all these cases, minayin, that you're not yotzei? So here's the drasha. So everything's going to be revolved around this drasha. Tamid loyma. Lo socha alav chametz. Mi she'isur mishum bal teichar alav chametz. The Torah, in describing matzah, introduces the mitzvah of matzah by saying, don't eat chametz, but rather eat matzah. Lo soich alav chametz, shivet shem teichar alav matzos. So that phrase, the way the Torah almost lumps together chametz and matzah into one phrase, this comes to teach us the following. Mi she'isura mishum bal teichar alav chametz. The only type of matzah that's acceptable is matzah that in theory would be also, if you would have let it sit for longer, would have been subject to the issur of chametz. Yotzezesh ein isur mishum bal teichar chametz. This comes to exclude tevel, which is not covered by the issur of chametz. Why? Al mishum bal teichar tevel? Because it's also mishum tevel. So since it's also mishum tevel, it's not really also mishum chametz. So this is not the cheftza of chametz, of matzah, that the Torah is speaking about. So the only cheftza of matzah that the Torah is addressing is I have a dough, and there's nothing wrong with that dough. There's no other isurim on that dough. If I have it sit long enough, after 18 minutes, it will become chametz. So if I bake it quickly, before 18 minutes, that's the matzah hamor b'Torah. But if I have tevel, which is not also mishum chametz, it's also for other reasons, so that's not subject to the mitzvah of matzah altogether. That's the drasha. So comes the Gemara and asks on the drasha, wait a second. The isura de chametz, the heichan ozla. What do you mean it's not also mishum chametz? Imagine if a person would take this dough that happens to be tevel. He didn't finish the story. He didn't finish the ma'isras. And it's also mishum tevel. And if he would eat it, he would taka b'chayev misif deshamayim for that. And he goes ahead and he lets it sit and it becomes chametz. So you can tell me it's not also chametz? Of course it's chametz. It's tevel. and it's chametz. So what's the drasha? The drasha is the only kind of matzah you could be yotze with is matzah that was susceptible to an issur chametz. This is also susceptible to an issur chametz. It's also asur mishum tevel. I'm not arguing that, but it's also susceptible to an issur chametz. So the Gemara's question was, I don't understand the whole drasha. How in the world does this pasuk indicate anything about not being able to be yotze with matzah shel tevel? So that's all in the Gemara's question. Visur de chametz echan ozlan. Those four words, visur de chametz echan ozlan. Where did the issur chametz go to? Where did the prohibition of chametz go to that gives you a right to even present the psukim in this manner? So Amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes now introduces to us something that's going to become a major part of our discussion. Now, Amar Rav Sheshes, Hamani Rabbi Shimoni, the Amar ain't Issachal Alisser. It must be that this Jerusha is assuming that there's a principle called ain't Issachal Alisser. Ain't Issachal Alisser means if you have an item, you have an object, that's also for reason A. And reason A took effect, took hold, and now, a week later, we want it to become also for reason B. Some other potential issues lurking in the background. Rabbi Shimon says, sorry, it's an oversaturated solution. Once it's also for one reason, it cannot become also for a second reason. So what would that mean for us practically, according to this view of Rabbi Shimon? I have this dough sitting in front of me, and the dough is also, it's treif, it's, I didn't say chametz, I said it's treif, it's tevel, it wasn't maized properly. If you eat it, kevalot, yichai, misadei shemayim, it's treif, terrible, 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 terrible. Comes, that was last week, that was before Pesach. Comes Pesach, and now the Issur Chometz is about to be take effect on this dough, because this dough is sitting there for the last week, so it's Chometz material, it's susceptible to the Issur Chometz. Comes Rabbi Shimon and says, no, it's not Chometz. It's not Asur Mishum Chometz. You know what? It's not Asur Mishum Chometz. Four words, Ein is five words, Ein Issur Chal al five words, Ein Issur Chal al Issur. Issur number two, namely Issur B, Issur Chometz, cannot take hold on something that's already also for a previous reason, i.e. the reason of Tevel. So, Ein Issur Chometz Chal Issur Tevel. That's the view of Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the drasha makes a lot of sense. I understand exactly what the drasha is talking about, that the only kind of dough you can use for matzah is a dough that's subject to the Issur Chometz. Well, guess what? This dough is not subject to the Issur Chometz because it's subject to an Issur of Tevel, and we apply the rule of Ein Issachal al Issur. How do we know Rabbi Shimon held such a view? Where does it say? How did Rabbi Shimon say this? When did he say this? The sign we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon, I met. Ha'oichal nevela biyom ha'kipurim patur. If a person eats trefa food, nevela, an animal that's a nevela, wasn't shechted properly, so he takes a piece of non-kosher meat, and he eats it on Yom Kippur, he is not chayef eating on Yom Kippur. Now there's a big difference in the halacha, because even though he ate non-kosher food, eating non-kosher food is generally only a lav. If you eat nevela, besides nevela, an animal that died without a proper shechita, it's a lav of the Torah. Once chayef malchus for it, but karis it's not. Eating on Yom Kippur is in a karis. So now the shaila is, I have a piece of trefa food, and I decide to eat it on Yom Kippur. Which iser am I violating? So comes Rabbi Shimon and says, well, it was treif before. It was nevel already. It was already last week, the iser of trefas, of nevelas of trefas was chal on it. So once the iser was chal on it last week, now when the subsequent iser of Yom Kippur is about to be mischadish, it's about to kick in, sorry, says Rabbi Shimon, ein iser chal al iser. My nafkamina doesn't mean I can eat it. No question I can't eat it. But the reason why I can't eat it is because of nevela, not because of Yom Kippur. And that's important, because nevela doesn't carry with it an issur kares, but Yom Kippur does. And Rabbi Shimon says, therefore I'm potter. So the Gemara is extrapolating. Just as Rabbi Shimon said that the issur of Yom Kippur cannot take effect on the issur of nevelas, so too the issur of chametz cannot take effect on the issur of tevel. And therefore, the drasha is back in business. That we're okay. The drasha taka makes a lot of sense. So we could breathe a sigh of relief. We got shot in the drasha. The sochel of chametz, shemisham tochel of matzahs. The only item that qualifies to be a piece of matzah for the mitzvah of matzah is something that's subject to chametz. This is not subject to the issur chametz because ain't issur chalissa prevents the issur chametz from being chal, and this fits in beautifully into the worldview of Rabbi Shimon. They used to, years ago, when you had people who were real, real forbrente people who went off the derech. Now, if it's not as there, most people never the people go off the derech today. They don't go off the derech because of the great lamdanim, you know, they know shas and everything. They go off the derech for whatever other time is, whatever the narish got to go off the derech for. But in Europe, you used to have sometimes, if a guy was a real yeshiva, he knew how to learn. When he went off the derech, he went off the derech with a bang. So there used to be, there were certain, I won't say it publicly on the tape, there were certain people who became later prominent people in the Jewish secular world who started out as yeshiva bachurim, and it was almost like a rite of passage to show that we were throwing away the world of illusion, and now we're becoming anti-from Jews. We're going to sit down and we're going to eat treif of food on Yom Kippur. That was like the statement of the ultimate rebellion. So between you and me, that may not be the worst rebellion. It may be better to eat. Maybe worse of an avera to eat kosher food in Yom Kippur. If you eat treif of food in Yom Kippur, you're eating a lot. Okay, I'm not advocating eating treif of food in Yom Kippur either, but it may not be as bad. You should go and get the glatt kosher of hadrim meat. Have daddy after kondidre. That's a merit. So the answer is those lamdanim / whatever they were. So they knew that we don't pass the Rabbi Shimon. So quite three. They already knew the whole Shtichot Torah. They already learned the Sugim Sachem. So we who don't pass the Rabbi Shimon stock a bigger merit to eat the tray for you. Anyway, I won't say. If you push me afterwards, I'll give you a name. But not on record, I won't tell you what it was. Okay. So the Chora, we accomplished our goal for this morning. We try to understand Pshat and the Braisa. We understood it. We have to Rabbi Shimon. Everything's great. The only problem is that we happen not to pass the Rabbi Shimon. And the question is, we who don't pass the Rabbi Shimon, how is that going to impact on this entire play out of this sugya? So if we take a look now, we can skip back to where we left off in the Ma'amar Kamas, number 8. So in 8th of the Ma'amar Kamas, at the top of page 2, there's a Ramban in Maseches Pesachim on this sugya. When the Ramban has one fell swoop, knocks the entire sugya out of the box. Nearly, says the Ramban, the Yotzin betevel of Maaser Rishon. I think we just barely started to read this Ramban last week. The Ramban says, we yotze with tevel over Maaser Rishon and a trumaso, over Maaser Shemek the Shalom Niftu. We would be yotze in the midst of matzah with all of the above, all those cases that we created, that we made up to find that it's a tevel. No problem, says the Ramban. At the end of the day, yotze with everything. Why? Because Rav Sheisha said that our Mishnah, the Mishnah that disqualifies Tevel, is following Rabbi Shimon. We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. Why not? So the Ramban alludes to a sugya in Maseches Chulin and Maseches Yevamos. V'kaimelon isa kolel umosif chalal iser. V'chametz v'pesa kolu umosif namiu de'osaba no'ok ochiotzin bahen. So it was one line, maybe a whole shiur, to explain what the Ramban was just driving at. The Ramban says that we do not accept the view of Rabbi Shimon, and just as we don't accept his view in eating treif and Yom Kippur, we don't accept his view in terms of the tevel and the chametz and the matzah story. Why don't we accept his view? So the Ramban is dropping a couple of hints. He's referencing sugyas in the third parak of Yevamos very, very quickly, so we'll give a little bit of a background to understand what the Ramban is driving at. The Gemara of the third parak of Maseches Yevamos tells us that the starting point is Rabbi Shimon is correct. That ain't is chalisa. That makes a lot of sense. Ain't is chalisa. The Gemara even has psukim to support that idea. Once something is also for one reason, it can't be also for something else. According to Rabbi Shimon, that's an absolute statement. Once Isser A is there, nothing in the world could touch Isser A. Ain't is chalisa. We don't accept that to the extent of Rabbi Shimon. We hold that fundamentally, ain't is chalisa. But there are a few exceptions to that rule. And the few exceptions to that rule is, what is what's called an Isser Kolel, and what is what's called an Isser Mosif. What are the meaning of those two rules? So let's take the example of the eating on Yom Kippur. That was the original model of Rabbi Shimon. I have a piece of food that's not kosher. It wasn't shechted properly. So I have my non-kosher meat sitting in front of me a week before Yom Kippur. So the Isser Nevelis Chal in full force on that piece of meat. Now comes the Kol Nidre, so it's about the sun setting, and now we're discussing, can the Isser of Yom Kippur be chal on this piece of meat? My nafkamina, it's also to eat anyway. Don't pick nafkamina, like Abbe Kores. So comes Rabbi Shimon and says, no, can't be chal. Why? Once it's chal once, ain't it's chal listen, nothing to discuss. Nothing to discuss. Come to Rabban and everybody else who argues Rabbi Shimon says no. At the end of the day, Yom Kippur is taking effect, not on this meat. Yom Kippur is taking effect on the potatoes, and Yom Kippur is taking effect on the cake, and Yom Kippur is taking effect on the ice cream. All other food in the world is now being affected by Yom Kippur. So that's what's called an Isser Kolel. Yom Kolel means to include. Come to Rabbanan to Rabbi Shimon and say, since Yom Kippur is coming and assering other kinds of foods, which has nothing to do with this particular chatik, nothing to do with this particular Isser, so it's not that Yom Kippur stopped dead in its tracks. Yom Kippur's here. Yom Kippur, the Chazans belted away Kol Nidre. Yom Kippur's here. You're not allowed to eat Yom Kippur. And all other food in the world is covered by the Isser of Yom Kippur. since the Yisur of Yom Kippur takes hold on everything else, it's kolel, it includes this piece of meat as well. So even though if you would just focus and just zero in on this meat proper, you would say, ein es chal isur. The Rabbanan who argue with Shimon say there's another rule that trumps the rule of ein es chal isur. That's what's called an isur kolel. So now, if you take that principle of isur kolel and carry that over to the Tevel model of the Chametz, so it's also going to be, we're also going to be able to apply Isser Kain Chal Isser. Why is that? So the starting point is I have this piece of dough, and this dough is Asa Mishum Tevel. It's Tevel, I can't eat it, and it's off limits. Comes the first night of Pesach, and the sun is setting on the night of Pesach, so all the Isser Chametz is about to be Chal. So if you would just focus on this piece of dough and say, can the Isser of Chametz be Chal on this dough? How can it be Chal on this dough? Ein Isser Chal Isser. So that's exactly what Rabbi Shimon says. It, in fact, can't be according to Rabbi Shimon, and if you would eat this dough, you wouldn't be Chayav Karetz for eating Chametz in Pesach. However, there are abundant turn around to Rabbi Shimon and say, wait a second, we, back in Yom Kippur time, 6 months earlier, we subscribed to the principle of Isser Kolel, and that overrides Ein Isser Chal Isser. So let's apply that principle here also. So Pesach is about to take effect. What does Pesach impact on? Not just this dough. It impacts on all the frozen pizzas that are sitting in the pizza store waiting for Matzah Achmat Shul Pesach. So they'll all become Asim Mishum Chametz. It's impacting all the schnapps in your cabinet. It's impacting your box of cereal that's sitting that belongs to Mr. Brown right now. It's impacting the crackers and that. Chametz is taking effect. Chametz is being chal on so many other things. Now true, if you zero in and focus in and look very, very limited only on the small little piece of dough that happens to have a tag of tevel connected to it. So you're right, we would say, ein es chal isur. And that's Rabbi Shimon. It's a very, very limited scope. Rabbi Shimon looks at each chaticha, each cheft in and of itself. He does look at the big picture. But the Rabbanan look at the whole picture. The Rabbanan say, the isur chametz is an isur kolel, because it's kolel a million other things that are not subject to tevel. Just as all the other chametz sticker products become asur and Pesach, so too, this dough becomes chametz, isur chametz as well. That's good for us. Why is it good for us? Because once it becomes asur and isur chametz, now we can plug in and say, well, great, fantastic. If it's asur mishum and isur chametz, so then the mitzvah of matzah can take effect also, because the only thing that was preventing us from being yaitzei matzah with it was the fact that it can't become chametz. I mean, it can become chametz. It would have become chametz if it would have been. It happens to be off. It happens to be matzah. But if it would have become chametz, then it would have been subject to the issur chametz. It's also mishum tevel. So what? Under these circumstances, Kain Isser Chalal Isser. So that's what the Ramban meant. That one half a line, that's what the Ramban meant. That Chametz of Pesach is Kolel Hu. In four words. He's assuming everybody learned the third part of Yevamos. Chametz of Pesach Kolel Hu. And therefore, just as eating on Yom Kippur, tray for food, we paskin is Chai Mishum Yom Kippur, because it's Kolel Hu. So too, eating Chametz of Tevel is also Kolel. And therefore, it would be subject to Chametz. And now, by extension, it could become kosher for matzah. And in fact, that means that the whole Mishnah disappears. But the Ramban didn't even stop with that. The Ramban threw in one other word, umosif namihu, the asibano. What in the world does that mean? So the Gemara has another principle. In Yevamos and in Masechet Chulin, there's another possible exception to the rule of ein es chal isur. So again, the starting point is Rabbi Shimon's right. Ein es chal isur. But what if the second isur has other dimensions that the first Isser doesn't have to it? The second Isser has other Isurim, there are other ramifications of that second Isser that are lacking in the first Isser. So then the Gemara says, that's not an Isser Kolel. Isser Kolel means that I'm looking at other items, not this item. I'm looking at other items. Isser Mosif means I'm looking at this item itself and say, wait a second, there are other aspects of Isser that want to take hold here. And maybe those other aspects of Isser can now almost schlep along the first aspect as well. So since there's a second dimension here, the rule of Isser falls by the way. So that's what's called an Isser Mosif. So comes the Ramban and says, the relationship between Chametz and Tevel meets the criteria of being an Isser Mosif. Why is that? because there's some other iser that's about to be tofei. So what is that? The iser hanah. Tevel is not osir hanah. You're allowed to derive benefit from tevel. There are certain limitations. There are certain types of things you're not allowed to do with tevel. But by and large, the iser hanah doesn't really apply. Chametz u'pesach is osir hanah min haTorah. So comes the Ramban and says, it's that second iser hanah shavo that gets the ball rolling, starts everything talking, and that becomes a factor in terms of paskering edus achelus. And since we, who disagree with Rabbi Shimon, we hold that sometimes Isser is Chal Isser, either because of Isser Kolel, or because of Isser Mosef, either one of those two factors would suffice. Therefore, the Ramban argues, we look at this Isser Shel Teva, we look at this dough of Teva, we say, what do you mean it's not Asabik Shum Chametz? Of course it's subject to Chametz. It's subject to Chametz for two reasons. Either it's subject to Chametz because Kolel, or because it's subject to Chametz because of Mosif. Either one of those independently would solve the problem. And therefore, for two good, solid reasons, we reject the Gemara, we reject the Mishnah, we paskin. Nearly the Ramban says, the Yaitzim Etevel, that he would be able to be Yaitzim Etevel. So the Ramban took the Sugim Sachim and took the whole Sugim, basically threw it out, basically scratched it out, and said, we can't paskin that Sugim, that whole Sugim is like Yalacha. Now, truth to be told, that the Ramban didn't need the second half. He didn't need the Issa Mosif. The Issa Kolo did the trick on its own. He threw in the Issa Mosif to be Mosif, to add in for good luck. But the Arishonim would disagree with that, with the second argument. They wouldn't necessarily disagree with the whole argument of the Ramban, but the second Nikud they would disagree, because there is a big machlokes in Rishonim about, is an Isser Hanah really called an added dimension of Isser? The Gemara does have a principle of Isser Mosif, but it's not always clear whether the second Isser qualifies to be labeled as an Isser Mosif. So that's a machlokes Tosa in the Rambam, and Sugyos in Masechus Chulin about Bas B'Cholov. It becomes important about Bas B'Cholov with non-kosher meat, becomes a complicated Sugya, but that second point of the Ramban is controversial. But the first point is pretty straightforward. And therefore, the Ramban argues that this entire sugya is shalok yalacha. The problem is, the Ramban now continues, and he says, wait a second. He said, Rabbeinu Zal, shekosa betchilas ha-mishna, yotzim bedmai, lohik bedaleh, betzorech iyun. So he says that the Rif, when he quotes the Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim, does talk a little bit about this Mishnah. The Rif goes out of his way to say that you are Yotzei the Mitzvah with Matzah Shel Demai. And we spoke a little bit about that last week also. Demai is food that we don't know for certain that Trumas and Maizos were not taken off of. We actually are pretty confident that they were. When you have Demai, that means that Min HaTorah, where it's most likely everything was taken off properly. Midirabbanan, there's a small chance that maybe the maizos weren't taken off properly. So Midirabbanan, you shouldn't be eating this demai. So the Mishnah says, but if you eat demai, for matzah, you still yotzei. Why? Because the Mishnah tells us that even though demai is off limits Midirabbanan, since Midatorah it's permissible, and it's such an unlikely chance that it wasn't fixed properly, for aniyim, they gave a break. They let poor people eat demai because it's so hard, they don't have enough food anyway. So with mekel, they let poor people eat demai. So therefore, if a poor person is allowed to eat demai, you can't say it's treif, you can't say it's aveh, you can't say it's asar. So therefore, Nuna will look the other way. If a person went ahead and he ate demai for the matzah, for the seder, even if he's not so poor, it would still be okay. Tosus has one line, a fascinating line, and it tells them, Sachman says, maybe by the Seder, everybody can eat the Tamai, even Lechachila. Why? We're all poor. Lechamoni. Tosus says, Lechamoni doesn't just mean that the bread looks poor, it means your bank account. All your money's gone on Pesach night. All aniyim on Pesach night. So we're all considered to be in the state of Lechamoni. That's a shail in Tosus. But the Mishnah says you can be Yotze with Tamai, implying that you can't be Yotze with real Tevel. So the Ramban says, wait a second, I just gave you Hoshtikot Torah that we paskin that you can be. So the Ramban says, now what's going on? Why does Rif quote it? So the Rabbi says, V'tzar chiyun, Mishum mitzvah babi aveira. So he says, maybe the reason why you're not yotzei with Tevel is because of mitzvah babi aveira. We have to stop for a second and digest what the Ramban just told us. We basically just made a total about face in the sugya. For 2 weeks almost, we were asking the question, why does the Gemara need another pasuk to tell me you're not Yotze Matzah Shel Tevel? What happened to Mitzvah Babi Aveira? We spent literally 5 shiurim trying to chisel away a Mitzvah Babi Aveira. We saw Tosus chiseled away in it. It's only Dirabonin. And Rabbeinu Peret says it only applies to Mitzvahs of Ritzah like Karbonis. And the Shagasai says, Esei Dechalosa say. And we spoke for two shiurim about the pros and cons of the Shagasai's Pshat. Everything we've been focusing on for the last, literally for 2 weeks, has been to try to get, to push Mitzvah Babi Aveira out of the box. I don't want to be bothered with Mitzvah Babi Aveira. The Ramban just did it. The Ramban just said, wait a second. He said, you know, The reason that the Gemara gives is not true. It's not true l'alacha, because it was all predicated on a shita that we don't paskin like. It was all predicated upon Rabbi Shimon, which we don't accept, as he just showed you. It's a mosif, it's a kol, etc. He says, but now wait a second. So now we're in a pickle, because we don't want to throw the Mishnah out. Ramban, at first he did, nearly the Yotzim B'Tel B'Masashin. At first he said, he was willing to throw out the Mishnah. But then he begins to defer to the Rif, but the Rif didn't throw out the Mishnah. The Rif seems to say, you're not Yotze. So Ramban says, so maybe, the only reason why you're not Yotze is, believe it or not, go back to 2 weeks ago, and all those reasons that we rejected Mitzvah B'Avera, now we don't want any of those reasons to be true. We need Mitzvah B'Avera. Come back, when we need it, we come back to it. So the Ramban says, maybe that's what's really going on here. So the Ramban says, not so simple. The Ramban says, once you go down the root of Mitzvah B'Avera, Tzarech Yun, the end of the third line of the Ramban, Misha Mitzvah B'Avera V'lo Matzasi Ket El B'Gazela. He said, in the Gemara itself, the principle of Mitzvah B'Avera is only found in the Sugya of Gazela. What Gemara is he talking about? Our Gemara, Masechah Sukkah. We've been learning Pesachah for the last 2 weeks. We forgot we're learning Masechah Sukkah. So in Masechah Sukkah, the topic at hand is Mitzvah B'Avera. That's our entire sugya, Lulav HaGozel. We're talking about stolen Lulavim. Says the Ramban, we only have precedent in Chazal for Mitzvah B'Avera vis-a-vis Gezela. Now you're almost making a jump. You're making a leap of faith and saying, maybe Mitzvah B'Avera can be extended. It applies to other Averas, such as Tevel. And we have to do that. Now let's not forget, for 2 weeks, that was the last thing we wanted to do. We've been trying to marginalize and trying to push Mitzvah B'Avera into the corner and tell us, don't raise your head, don't bother us, Mitzvah B'Avera. We don't want you. We have a pasuk. And now that the Ramban just took the pasuk and tossed it out by saying that pasuk is really nice, if you hold a Rabbi Shimon, we don't hold a Rabbi Shimon, kol amosim, etc. So now he's trying to bring back to life Mitzvah B'Avera. So the question is that really the route we're going to go through now? We're really going to go down that path and say, now we're going to reevaluate the sugya and relook at the entire sugya through the eyes of Mitzvah B'Avera again. So we still have more work to do on that. Hopefully, Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll try to go back to that. And unlike what we've been trying to do for the last 2 weeks, we're going to try to change course a little bit and try to bring Mitzvah B'Avera back into the picture.